Once again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him to speak to our hearts through His Word what we stand in need of. Father, how we thank You for the chance that's ours to be here tonight. You see our hearts. You know what we stand in need of. And I pray that You would have our attention. Pray that we might be attentive to You. We might have a desire to hear what You would say to us. We thank You for Your word, and I pray that all that transpires in the remaining portion of the service would honor You and be pleasing in Your sight. In Your name I pray, amen. Well, for quite a few Sunday evenings, we have been spotlighting the Word of God concerning various aspects of the heart. Remember, when we talk about the heart, we're not talking about that muscle within our chest, the heart. Where is the heart? We say, you know, I love You with all my heart. Well, where is that? Is that that thumper? Or where is the heart? It's the very center of a person's thoughts, their feelings, and their actions. The very center of their thoughts, their feelings, and their actions. We've been looking at this for several months on Sunday evenings. And perhaps there's some are thinking, get a life, Pastor. Enough is enough. Don't you think we could move on to something else? Maybe you're making a mountain out of a molehill on just keeping hammering away at this thought regarding our hearts. But are we really making too much fuss? Have we blown the subject out of proportion? Have we exaggerated its importance by looking at it for so many Sunday nights in a row? I trust the answer in your minds would be, no, Pastor, there's always something more we can be reminded of with regards to our hearts. And our verse that we want to look at this evening. Oh, sorry there, Andrew. You're looking for a sermon title, aren't you, on the little disc that you're making for people. It's called It's No Exaggeration. It's No Exaggeration for you note takers. And the verse that I want us to look at this evening is one that very early in our study regarding the heart, we designated it as the key verse for our whole series of studies on the heart. What verse was that? In Proverbs chapter 4, it's verse 23, and the writer of the Proverbs tells us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For you note takers, let's call this verse number one, the word to heed. The word to heed. As we have done in quite a few times in our previous messages, we have taken a look at some of the different words in the verses to see what they say, to see what they mean, perhaps make some comparative searches and find out maybe where are some other places in Scripture where this same word is used to give us insight, and we want to do that again this evening. So having said that, in that 23rd verse, the first word that I want us to look at is the word keep. If you were with us in our morning service this morning, you know in 1 John chapter 5, we pointed out that there are some that look at verse 18 of 1 John 5, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. A true Christian will not habitually commit sin. They'll blow it from time to time, but that will not be the characteristic of their life, just continuously living in sin. The second thing, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Keepeth himself. He is going to be concerned. He's going to be cautious. He's going to be careful with regard to his own relationship to the Lord. And remember, I pointed out that some of the different different versions based on some of the other manuscripts say, they translate that he that is begotten of God, they translate that as Christ, and that Christ keeps the believer. And I said, while that's very true, Christ does, he's pictured in many ways in Scripture keeping us, yet there are numerous times in Scripture where the believer is challenged and instructed to keep. And we gave some examples of that. And I thought how fitting that we look here tonight, and our key word in that verse is what? We are to keep our heart. It's the one who has a heart for the things of God to whom this word is spoken. If you know the Lord, the word is to you. That's what God's word is to us here in Proverbs chapter 4. We are to keep our heart. We'll talk about what is that. What does that mean? It means to guard. And it means to protect, maintain, preserve. To guard. We need to be guarding our heart. We need to make sure that we're not careless in the things that we allow, the things that we think of, the things that we set our eyes on. We need to guard our hearts. We need to protect, we need to maintain, we need to preserve. Now, what I have done, again, previous Sunday evenings as we have looked at this, the original word which comes from our verse here, the original Hebrew word for keep in this 23rd verse, is also found in other places. Sometimes it's not translated with the same English word. Is that a problem? No. It just means that particular word means more than one thing. So the word which we're looking at here for keep one's heart, or preserve it, or to guard it, protect it, let's just go back and look at some Psalms and see some places where this is found. For instance, Psalm 32, verse 7. Here the psalmist says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Any guess at what the same word is that here in this Psalm 32, verse 7? What is it? Preserve. That's right. Same Hebrew word. You will preserve me from trouble. In our text verse, we are told to keep our heart with all diligence. But here we see other places we find the psalmist recognizing and trusting the Lord to do what for him? To preserve and to keep him. Look at 31:23, just back a few verses. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Here again, our word is preserveth. The Lord preserveth. He keepeth the faithful ones. Look at Psalm 34. And notice in verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. What do we see here? Translated the same way. Same Hebrew word that we saw in our text in Proverbs 4:23. Here now the psalmist giving the word from the Lord, he is reminding us we are to keep our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking guile. We need to be careful about what passes through our lips. Look at Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. And we notice in verse 1 this word. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Look at verse 21. Verse 21, my son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. This is the thought. As we are looking at this first point, the word that we are to heed, and we saw it in Proverbs 4:23, our text verse, when it says, keep your heart with all diligence. Okay, well, we could continue on, but I don't want us to labor this particular point. Not only does it tell us to keep our heart, but it tells us how we are to keep our heart. And what is the word that's used here? With all what? Diligence or care. Keep your heart with all diligence. Once again, it has reference to a guard or a watch. Be alert. Wilson's Old Testament word study says this, above all keeping. In other words, above anything that one would preserve, protect, or that is kept above all things else. Do we get the idea that the writer of Proverbs is wanting us to take heed what we do with our hearts? Certainly does sound like it, doesn't it? With all diligence, above all else, keep your heart. Keep your heart. And it certainly doesn't sound like we're putting too much emphasis on this particular topic in these Sunday evening series, taking a look at what Scripture has to say about our hearts. Sounds like if we would look at what keep and with all diligence is suggesting, it sounds like it ought to be a top priority, that we ought to be careful about our heart. We ought to be careful. Now, some other places that we find this thought of diligence or caution, care, guarding, keeping watch. In Nehemiah chapter 4, we see here some examples. Nehemiah chapter 4, look at verses 7 through 9. It came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped or plugged, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a what? A watch. Same word. This, they were diligent and they took steps against them day and night because of them. Verse 21. So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, I said unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a, here we go, a guard to us, and labor on the day. And so we see here in this reference, and you see the men of the guard which followed me in verse 23. We see the word used there, chapter 7, 1, 2, and 3. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a faithful man and feared God above many. And I said, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, everyone to be over against his house. Keep your heart with all diligence. Be attentive to what is going on. And then it says back in our text, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? The issues of life in verse 23. What are the issues of life? Well, that's the goings forth. The goings forth. all that is connected to our life. Everything that pertains to us is connected to what? Our heart. And we need to be sure we are watchful. We need to be sure we are guarding. We are careful. We're being attentive with all diligence. We're not just half-heartedly paying attention to what's going on, but with all diligence, because we recognize out of my heart is everything that pertains to my life. If I blow something, my whole life could be wrecked. We've seen the word to heed. Now let's consider the weight of the matter. The weight of the matter, number two. What is so special about what goes on in one's heart? What is so special about what goes on in one's heart is what we have seen in previous messages. Do you know or you know what goes on in my heart? I sure don't know what goes on in yours. And the truth of the matter is, we can put on a pretty good show, can't we, at times? And can do a pretty good job of fooling someone. But you know, there is one person that knows our heart, and we can never fool him. Of whom am I speaking? Our God. He knows our hearts. He thinks he can get away with certain things. He thinks that he can fool God. But truth of the matter is, God sees exactly. He knows. What's so important? What is so important on this second point? The weight of this matter in Proverbs 23, verse 7. As one thinks in his heart, what's the rest of it? So is he. We begin to live out and act out what we are thinking about. In the New Testament, we see the significance or the weight of heart contents. For instance, in Matthew chapter 5, let's see what this teaches us. In verse 27 and 28 of Matthew chapter 5, the Lord said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his what? In his heart. You say, what goes on, what I'm thinking about, isn't that important? 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. We saw this weeks ago. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother, well, that everybody hates, right? John taught us here, whosoever hateth his brother is a what? What's the word? Murderer. And John said, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So, I won't do or act, I won't think about those things. The significance or the weight of what is in our heart. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, the Lord taught we sometimes say, well, I'll just keep it inside. I won't let any of this out. I won't tell anybody what's going on. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it tells us this: a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. You know what I believe the Lord is telling us here? We might think that we can keep it inside. And we might think that, you know, we're not going to let it out. But you know what the Lord is saying here is that ultimately, in time, what's going to happen? We're going to be letting some hints about what's really going on inside of our heart. And it's going to come out through our lips. It will demonstrate itself in words, in attitudes, in actions, and the contents of the heart are going to be discovered. Our heart is so important. What goes on in our heart, in the eyes of the Lord, is as significant as if we had actually, literally committed certain sins. Here's a question. When can I relax as far as my heart is concerned? Isn't that a good question to kind of bring ourselves to? Okay, Pastor, we've heard about this, the word to heed. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I get that. And you've warned us about the significance of what goes on in our heart that maybe we don't even talk about and we think that nobody else is going to know. But I'd like to know, when can I just kind of relax and take it easy and not have to be so concerned about the issues of life? In answer to that question, number three, here is a warning we need to remember. The warning to remember in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1, it tells us this: dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. I like the way he described that. Dead flies in the mixture stinks. Then he goes on and he says, so doth. In the same way, the same thing is true. A little folly, him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. What's he talking about? If someone is not careful, someone who has a good reputation, someone who holds a position of honor, so quickly they can ruin it for the rest of their lives. I would like us to consider what happens when a person becomes careless, even for a moment. How many of you have ever heard of David, king of Israel? Was he known for honor? Did he have a good reputation? Was he an honorable man? He sure was. But I would like us to think, actually, I have some thoughts here from a book written by J. Oswald Sanders, Enjoying Intimacy with God. And he talks about what happened to David when David did not keep his heart with all diligence. And we know the story. Few Bible saints experienced and expressed so deep an intimacy with God as David. His Psalms are studded with expressions of worship and devotion that betoken an exceptionally close walk with God. And that walk was maintained even in the midst of constant peril and adversity. Time and time again, when surrounded by enemies and discouraged in heart, his confidence in God enabled him to break through the forbidding clouds and once again enjoy the sunshine of God's presence. The tragedy, though, is that in an unguarded moment, the man whom Scripture described as a man after God's heart in Acts chapter 13 forfeited that treasured intimacy and went out into the dark, an adulterer and a murderer. To us, such a sudden and steep transition seems almost unbelievable, but that's only because we have not yet discovered the dark depths and intricacies of our own hearts. The fatal fall occurred, according to 2 Samuel chapter 11, at the time when the kings go out to battle. His rightful place was at the head of his armies. That was problem number one. He neglected his assignment. He was not where he should have been. As king, he should have been leading his armies, but he took the night off. May we take warning when we think, I know so-and-so, but who's going to care if I don't, if it's our responsibility, beloved, we need to do it. Period. He neglected his duty in favor of an unduly prolonged siesta. And we find that while walking on the roof, he saw a very beautiful woman bathing. His repeated look. His sin was not that he innocently saw this woman bathing. His sin was that he took another look and another look, and he kept looking. And in one fatal moment, he forfeited his intimacy with God. and for a momentary gratification, he sacrificed fellowship with God. That dark stain is a warning to people in all ages of the possibility of defection in mature years. And I'm afraid sometimes we think, well, you know, I've known the Lord so long, nothing is going to happen to me. Now, you know, I'm not going to slip. I'm not going to fall. We're ripe bait for the enemy of our soul, who goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We're just the ones he's looking for. In a moment, it's possible to sully the achievements of a lifetime. Let me say that again. In a moment, it is possible to sully the achievements of a lifetime. And as we think of this, we think of what effect did it have on David? Did it ruin him? Did he fall flat on his face? Did he say, what's the use? What's the point? We know he suffered remorse. Nathan the prophet was sent by God to David. I sometimes look at Scripture and I think, I'm sure glad God didn't choose me to do that. I would not have liked to have been in Nathan's shoes when Nathan told that story about the man who killed his neighbor's prize sheep that was loved by the whole family, and he wouldn't butcher one of his own flocks. And David flew into a rage because David was a shepherd. And he said, that man's going to suffer for that. And Nathan looked at him and said, you are the man. You are the man. You're king. You've already got a couple of wives. And if that wouldn't have been enough, all you would have had to have asked is to ask God, and he would have given you more. But what you did is you took a man's only wife and you committed sin, and then you murdered him to cover up your sin. Psalm 51 is the psalm which shows us David's remorse, David's confession. Did God forgive him of his sin? Certainly he did. But you know, though God forgave David of his sin, one of the sad things that we learn about sin is many times, though it is forgiven by God, there are lasting consequences. And you remember what one of the consequences was with David? Number one, the child that Bathsheba was carrying that David was the father of, God said, that child is going to die. That child is going to die. And there's never going to be peace and happiness and joy among your family members from this moment on. And for the rest of David's days, God forgave him of his sin. God continued to bless him greatly in his reign as king. But you know what? David's family was always in turmoil and was a bust. And it was perhaps one of the greatest examples of it was whom in David's family? His son, Absalom. I'm going to get Dad's throne. Well, as we think of this, how important is it that we pay attention to our hearts? What we call this title tonight, it's no what? Exaggeration. Our text verse was, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. May the Lord help us be careful with our hearts. So critical to our success, defeat, I trust the Lord will help us to renew our heart's desire to be ever watchful and on guard for everything. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Let's stand, shall we? Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this verse. It's so simple, forthright, but so critical. Help us take to heart. Help us with David's tragic example to realize the tragedy of a careless moment. It could happen to any of us. May we walk in the light as you are in the light. And may we keep our hearts with all diligence. For your glory we ask. In our Savior's name, amen.